AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. Matt, Hunter. Hunter, I think it's pretty obvious at this point. I'm a jerk, man. I mean, come on. I'm bringing this up because I was accused of being a meanie pants today.
Oh, no.
By some woman who works in, was it Marshall Schools? Diane Hall. She got up on the Progressive Citizen, that's Matt McNeil Show Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
Now, a little background information, if you could. I have done this dance with these conservatives over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And within two interactions with you, I can tell you exactly what kind of interaction I'm going to have. Either you are the occasional, and I do mean occasional, respectable conservative who actually brings some valid points, will acknowledge when I have a good point, and we can actually have a communication. Doesn't happen too often, but there are people out there that actually are, that remind me of the 1980s when I used to be able to have discussions with people, and I realize that there are sometimes more conservative issues that I, to a point, agree with, to a point. I mean, in the same sense as they find there are some, yeah, there are some socially liberal issues they as well agree with. And so it's, That occasionally does happen still yet today. Not too often, though. The second is by far the greatest amount, and that is people who pretend they're coming in for a conversation but don't want to have a conversation. They just basically want to scream how great Trump is and that I'm an idiot and blah, 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 and boom. All right. I can see through that one pretty quickly. And the reason why I can see through it is when I can, and I'll come back to this, when I throw out an obvious point where if you were looking to have a discussion, a bit of reality that even you cannot deny, then, and you just kind of plow past that, that tells me exactly everything right there. Thirdly, I get the people sometimes who are violent and angry and bitter and insultive, and that's, you know, block, bye. If your whole goal was to see if you could get blocked real fast, good for you. I mean, I don't have any tolerance for belligerence. It's my social media pages. And I mean, I run the one on Facebook. I got the one on Twitter. There is one on Instagram. I don't do too much with them. But, I mean, there are, you know, I have these social media pages. The reality is that, you know, if you're going to be a jerk, there's nothing in the Constitution that says I have to sit there and allow you to insult me. And so I'm going to block you. And some people get so infuriated by it. It's like, you were a jerk. Okay. You know, it's, you know, drunk belligerent guy getting chucked out of the bar doesn't wonder why did they throw me out of there? You know, well, you kind of know why you got thrown out. So going back to that second group, Diane Hall was once again in the Marshall High School. She's Marshall School District. She comes at me. She's a big Trump supporter. And she was commenting on an interesting story I saw. And this, I think, falls back to this story was actually about an earlier recall of produce, leafy green vegetables. But the implications are this last one where they basically yanked every piece of romaine lettuce off the shelves across the country is probably the same exact thing. And that is that the Obama administration realized there was a major hole in testing for E. coli, and that was in irrigation water. We did not require testing of irrigation water for contaminants such as E. coli. And so these you know, this water is getting sprayed on the fields, and that's how a lot of this was happening. And if I'm not mistaken, there have been 14 cases where irrigation water has been proven to be the contaminant on usually smaller outbreaks, but still, in this case, since Trump took office, which is why this is important, because Obama passed a bill that said you had to do testing of irrigation water to make sure that irrigation water is there. Trump himself undid this. And we already know of one case where irrigation water killed 5 people, sickened over 200 people. Those people had to die because their lives were not as important as limiting government regulation. That's quite literally what it is. That's what Trump said. This is too much government regulation. Well, when he said that, he was saying people are going to die because of contamination from this irrigation water into plants. And henceforth, I don't care. I'd rather these people died as opposed to us testing the water. That's what it is. So Diane gets up and this is Obama's fault, because apparently Obama didn't become a dictator and basically impose his will on this issue and force it down everyone's throat. The fact that it wasn't set to go into effect until Trump's administration, that it was really Obama's fault, and Trump only had one option, but because it was Obama, they had to knock it down. But he did knock it down. That was Trump's decision. This is Trump's call. The lack of testing of irrigation water is Trump's fault. That's an undeniable reality. There's the undeniable reality. I threw that back at her. Skips right past it. Doesn't even slow down. But Trump is doing all these good things there is no bankruptcy as ever with Trump, and Obama was horrible to the farmers. This is fixing everything. So I even go the second. I was like, wait a minute here. You just skip past this. Trump did this. This is not debatable. He did do this. He was right in doing so. Oh, God. Well, that's when I say, okay, and this is generally let me give you the response I usually give. You are worthless to talk to. You are not worth my time. You are not worth my followers' time. You are clearly such a jaded, broken person that you can't look at reality anymore. Trump's policies are going to destroy you, and you'll basically, as they take the last dime out of your hand, scream, "Damn Democrats!" Because you're that broken. You hate Democrats more than they love their quality of life, your health, your kids, your religion, and your country. I can't help you, but you know, I hope at some point you wake up and realize you yourself have gotten into bed with the devil himself. Of course, now I'm name calling because I'm a jerk. All right. You know, if you're going to just be dishonest, don't waste my time. As a matter of fact, I think I did you a favor. We don't even have to discuss anymore, because you don't want to have a discussion. You just want to kick the door open to my house, go to the bathroom in the middle of my floor, and scream, "I have to like it." And no, I don't have to like that. I'm not going to let you do that. But that's what it is. I mean, you have these discussions, you know. Yeah. They're not worth your time most of the time.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Cool, call it the Randy and Coon Rapids principle. Oh, Randy. Oh, by the way, a quick little side note. Funny story, because Randy yesterday was screaming that Obama tear gas kids all the time. No, that's not true. What the Republicans were using as their defense of Trump tear gassing kids is that in 2013 in San Diego, near a border crossing, a Border Patrol agent used some pepper spray on some immigrants. Now, this wasn't directed by the White House. This was not a new White House policy. This was just a crowd control initiative, and it was reported on in the San Diego paper. No kids were involved in there. It wasn't tear gas canisters, and it wasn't being launched into Mexico. It was a crowd control measure done by him. They're using that. They're saying that Border Patrol agent using pepper spray on some immigrants at that border crossing is the exact same thing as Trump saying we're not going to accept any asylum seekers violating international law and rule, launching tear gas canisters at children in a foreign country and using that as a good principle. No, it's not the same thing. Just going to let you know, not the same thing. But Republicans will always try to equate the Democratic 3-year-old who shoplift a 5-cent piece of candy with the Republican axe murderer who killed 20. Because if they can just say they're both criminals, what they do is they inflate the crime of the Democrat into something far grander than it really is. And they also diminish their crimes as just, you know, normal wear and tear sort of thing. So keep that in mind. 952-946-6205. I want to also touch on something from yesterday, too, and that was the discussion we had in regards to the homeless. And so, I don't know if you heard of much of this, Hunter, but the point, at my church, they have a fundraiser every holiday season for a men's shelter where you can get them socks, you can get them long underwear, hats, gloves. And this year, they're asking for sleeping bags and tents. And I'm like, wait a minute here. Are we trying to fight homelessness, or are we trying to allow it? And I didn't quite understand. I mean, I understand, the case may be that, you know, there are people that need that. But at the same time, shouldn't our goal with homelessness be to get people off the streets? And if we need to revisit how we do shelters, and if we really need to revisit expanding shelters and stuff like that, I mean, by all means, we need to. I just didn't quite know if that was really, did I agree with that path? And I had a lot of people come back at me. The first realization I think I will come to is from the people that I talked to. The argument is that, no, you cannot fix the current homeless system in this country. You just can't. It's just not going to work. The Republicans have screwed things up so bad in regards to funding, in regards to stigma, that it is, you know, you're always going to have a percentage of your population living on the street. And that is just a reality. You cannot fix it in the current climate. That being said, considering the current climate is that people are going to be on the street, supplying people with tents and sleeping bags probably is a good idea. At least they can get some level of shelter. Although it is still mind-boggling to think that there's anything I can buy at a Target store or something of that nature that's going to be winter-ready for Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not something which is generally, you know, an over-the-counter Coleman sleeping bag, I don't know if it's, you know, thermal rated to minus 20. And nor is any of the tents in there going to be necessarily rated to that level. So, needless to say, it's regardless, you know, that seems to be the point. But it also did bring up the argument that there is definitively a need to rethink how we do this, the homelessness, and deal with homelessness. We can't ignore it. We can't ignore it under the auspices of we don't want to stigmatize it. I've already talked about both of those. I don't think either one of those works. And that the conservative mentality is to ignore it. The, you know, there are, I've talked about Portland, Oregon, where they basically allow the homeless to be everywhere. But once again, by allowing that, I think they have created another version of ignoring it. Oh, well, we've solved the problem because we allow them to be everywhere. Well, you haven't solved the problem. There's still people living on the streets. But I think we do need to definitively take a step back and rethink how we do this. We have to have safe shelters that offer not only a, you know, a 4-hour bunk or an 8-hour bunk, but a real stepping stone back into some sort of, you know, normal lifestyle where you're not on the streets. I think we have to work on that. And there are some communities. Salt Lake City has done a magnificent job. I don't know if you've seen what they've done out there. They give the homeless a house, a little apartment. They give it to them for free. And they've ended up saving hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money. And it's been a wildly successful program at getting people off the streets. But, you know, you trying to get that past in some communities is next to impossible. It's needless to say, I want to come back, and what I'll say is this. St. Stephen's is a shelter in town. They're looking for donations. They need sleeping bags. They need tents. I am going to, on my own, go over and give as well to them through my church, a sleeping bag and a tent. I have, after the discussion I've had with some of the listeners about this, when we talked about this yesterday, I've realized that even though my intent is in the right place, the societal setup is not there yet. And so henceforth, I have to live within the world that I'm in right now. And so that means they need sleeping bags, they need tents. Make donations if you can. Help out the people, the needy, if you can, during this time of year. And I'll tell you one thing, this one last quick note about this, which really kind of made this hit home. Today I was at a store, a grocery store. And for the first time since 2008, while I was there, I witnessed multiple people not being able to pay for their food. And that was in 2008. That was the last time that happened. And I remember walking to my wife, I said, "You're not going to believe this." I was over at the grocery store and you had people having to take stuff off their groceries. They had people having to walk away from a cart because they couldn't get a credit card to work. And I was just like, wow, this was kind of, it really kind of put 2008 into perspective, but we were in a really dangerous place here. Well, I just saw the same exact thing happen again. And while most of this country keeps reporting about how Trump's economy is the best economy ever, I'm seeing, when you see stuff like that on Main Street, that should scare you. So help if you can. By all means, help if you can this holiday season. And hopefully I'm wrong on that one about where our economy is going. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. An update as well on the guy that allegedly pulled the gun at the McDonald's. We'll talk about him when we come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Odie, what are you going to get Linda this year?
Well, Sven, how about a t-shirt from Northern Sun?
Oh, yeah. They have those funny ones and political ones, too.
Yeah, and don't you know how Lena feels about that president?
Yeah, I don't care for him so much either.
Sven and Ole get their shirts, stickers, and magnets from Northern Sun. You should too, don't you know?
Visit Northern Sun in Minneapolis on East Lake Street or online at northernsun.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
That's disturbing. I have to tell you the truth. When you're there and you're seeing, okay, wait a minute here. One, two, what's going on here? You know, that's exactly what happened back in 2008 too. I remember it was before even the houses started getting foreclosed on. All of a sudden I go to the grocery store and, you know, there were people that were having a hard time paying for the groceries. And I'm like, this is not a good sign in a supposed, you know, in the suburbs. You know, this is supposed to be, you know, where, you know, people that have some money are supposed to be. This is not something we're supposed to have this kind of problem. And that was a really sign that the economic downturn of 2008 was a very realistic thing. Well, when you're seeing that again, I'm a little concerned about that. From a story from I believe it was Wednesday of last week, right before Thanksgiving. After 5 days in jail, Lloyd Edward Johnson is waking up at home this morning. The Star Tribune reports Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman's office was unprepared to file charges before a legal deadline mandating Johnson's release. A spokesman for Freeman said there is additional evidence we need to look at before determining whether Johnson will face prosecution. Johnson, 55, was arrested last week after video circulated showing him frightening interaction with Somali teens at an Eden Prairie McDonald's. Johnson can be seen pushing one boy on his way out the door, inspiring another of the group to push Johnson back. Johnson then pauses at the door, turns back to the youths and says something, and then the crowd scatters with several shouting, "He's got a gun!" What follows is a chaotic scene with the McDonald's manager attempting to kick the teens out near the street. A witness to the scene interjects, "Don't throw them out," when the dude just pulled a blanking gun on them. Adding the woman should be calling 911. Later, another employee informs the crowd that the man must have pulled the gun out for a reason. What? What? I didn't see that one when the story came around. You think that you're McDonald's. You're an employee, and I want to make sure we understand this. This is an employee at that McDonald's. Thinks there are reasons for people to be pulling guns out in the restaurant. Because what? They went to the drink container twice? Too many napkins? Come on. He pulled the gun out for a reason. Wow. Wow. Is that official of McDonald's? Is there a video in the back that tells you that you have to watch as in training for McDonald's that, you know, teaches you how to basically divert blame? Here comes Grimace. That's what it is. Mayor McCheese is in there. He starts taunting Grimace. Grimace gets upset. Mayor McCheese comes on over and pulls the gun or shows a gun. Grimace is diving for cover. And they tell Grimace, you know, maybe you deserve this to happen to you, Grimace. Maybe he was being racist against purple things. I don't know. But Mayor McCheese has got issues. I'm sure McDonald's is loving me, taking it, breaking this down to a level which works within their realm. Wow. That training video is going to be exciting. The scene started in an upsettingly predictable way. According to statements teenagers involved gave to the Star Tribune, the two girls attempting to pay for their food with a phone app, which didn't work. Now, Johnson is said to have muttered something about using EBT, reference to government food assistance. Just because I'm black, you think I use EBT, asked one team, who which Johnson said, yep. And it should be noted that Johnson allegedly pushed one of the kids before one of the other kids pushed him back, before then all of a sudden gun guy comes for a visit. Responsible gun ownership. That's what we're looking at here. Responsible gun ownership. I'm glad the guy spent 5 days in jail. So if it was 5 days in jail, did he miss Thanksgiving there? Or was it? No, probably just it was, maybe it was Thanksgiving Day. He went into the pokey.
You're usually stuck in there if you get arrested before holiday.
Well, I was kind of hoping they would. And the reason why is that this guy needs to learn a lesson. And I, you know, frankly, if these allegations are true, he needs to, and there's video evidence of a good chunk of it. And more than just the Somali teens who are saying it. Remember, the other bystander said the guy pulled a gun. So, you know, there's more than a one witness here to this case. But this is a person, this is the absolute worst kind of person to give a carry and conceal weapon to. And we don't know if it's carry and conceal. There's nothing in any of the stories I can see. This, by the way, out of City Pages. There is nothing I have found on whether or not the gun this guy was carrying was legal. But even if it was, I mean, my God, I mean, isn't that more of a condemnation of the carry and conceal program that someone who wants to try to start a conflict has got one of these guns? He was the one that started mouthing off to these girls about using food assistance just because they were black. He was the one that pushed a kid out of the way before another kid pushed him back before he was going to end this. I mean, come on. This is unacceptable within our society. And frankly, let's just be honest. Lloyd Edward Johnson, if this all ends up being true, should never have a gun again for the rest of his life. He shouldn't. And I know that Tony Cornish and the rest of these Republicans are like, how dare you? I'm sorry. Starting a conflict and then trying to end said conflict, which you started by pulling the gun out, that's not common sense. That's not decency. That's a bad deal. And if this guy is guilty of that, well, he should not have a gun ever again. Any kind of gun. You can't trust a guy. If someone does this, how can you give a gun back and say, oh, well, hopefully he doesn't start another fight again? Really? Come on. This is ugliness, and this is going to get worse, because this is what are we seeing in the age of Trump? Emboldened racists who think that they have a mandate to confront people they don't like. And once again, if that's the case, I mean, the guy was making racist comments that all black people are on food assistance. You know, it allegedly has the gun he pulls on out. I'm sorry, there's a lot of horrible here. And I think that this is something we're going to see more and more of. And I hope that charges are filed against him. I do. Because you should not be able to go into a restaurant and start fights and then try to end them because you've got the gun. Because you know what? You want to know the truth is, to Lloyd Edward Johnson's, to benefit, the last thing this guy needs to do is do this again and have some guy with a bigger gun with a better aim. Because wouldn't this story be a very different story if one of the people that he had threatened with his gun had a gun in return and we ended up having a shootout in an Eden Prairie McDonald's? That's what we should be thinking of. And no, you should not have that possibility. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Minnesota appliance specialist at Warner Stellion made a lot of appliance shoppers happy over Black Friday, and we had a blast doing it. We had so much fun, we decided to keep the party going with Black Friday savings on top brand appliances all week long. Warner Stellion guarantees you'll save on the appliances you want, and you can relax knowing our trusted specialists will handle free delivery, basic installation, and haul away. Get in on the fun. Buy appliances at guaranteed prices from Minnesota's own Warner Stellion.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day. 7 days a week.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. With the end of 2018 in sight, it's time to clear out the remaining 2018 Toyotas. Rudy Luther has huge discounts on the most popular small SUV, the RAV4, and Toyota is offering a $3,000 rebate on 2018s through November. If you want a larger SUV, try the 2018 Highlander with 0% financing for 60 months. You'll also get the Holiday Station gas discount for 3 years with purchase of a new Rudy Luther vehicle. November is Govember, so get going over to Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
It's just a few weeks before winter officially settles in. Is your home ready for the holidays? Now is the perfect time to get your entire home zero-resified by the cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get 3 rooms clean starting at just $149. You can also get $50 off your air duct cleaning when you call 952-0-RES, 952-0-RES, or book online anytime at zeroresmn.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week, Burger Mo's. Try the onion burger they got there. That is delicious. And also the ultimate burger they've got there, too. Fantastic food, 20 fresh, never frozen varieties there. 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul. BurgerMo's.com. Burger Mo's is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Ooh, we have so many things to talk about with Trump. I'll start off with, I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm not going to bury the lead. Trump's in big trouble here. Because remember, okay, so when you're looking at the Russia investigation, because the question here is, did a political candidate for president invoke the aid of a foreign country to help sway the election legally or, well, not legally, it'd be illegal, that's collusion. Sway the election towards him and again away from his candidate. There's a lot of evidence that there was specific targeting on social media and stuff. But the main gist of this, the main category was there an agreement between Trump and the Russians and WikiLeaks to release hacked emails from Hillary Clinton and the DNC that were hacked by the Russians to try to sway the election? And the argument, we know one, the Russians all hacked the Hillary Clinton and the DNC. That's a fact. We know that the Russians and WikiLeaks were communicating with each other, and that the release by WikiLeaks of the Hillary Clinton emails was coordinated through with the Russians. We know this. These are what we know. The question we have, even though that we have quite a bit of evidence of connections, was where does this go back to the Trump campaign? Now, for a long time, we've been looking at, was it John Corsi and Roger Stone? These are friends of Trump's who are, you know, if you're going to get involved with a massive treasonous collusion campaign, you might not want to take the dumbest friends you've got, because that's exactly what Trump did. I mean, Roger Stone bragged constantly about this stuff to people, and he's in big trouble. But, you know, so you were trying to figure out where was the Mueller investigation going in regards to, you know, are they looking at Corsi? Because he had connections to Julian Assange at WikiLeaks. And then, of course, Corsi was friends with Roger Stone, and Roger Stone is a BFF of Trump. So was it through there and stuff? But funny, The Guardian has found, just a little bit of a leak here. President Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, yes, that Paul Manafort, secretly met with WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange on multiple occasions, with the last meeting occurring a few months before the WikiLeaks released hacked DNC emails in the summer of 2016, The Guardian reported Tuesday. Now, by the way, the thing which is pretty amazing about this, now the Papadopoulos stuff makes a lot more sense, because people were saying, well, wait a minute here. If you're looking at the Donald Trump Jr. meeting that happened in the summer of 2016, Papadopoulos was apparently bragging to the Australians about the Trump campaign having the access to the Clinton and the DNC emails before that meeting. So is there a timeline problem? Well, not anymore. We seem to have a pretty complete timeline right now. Julian Assange met with him multiple occasions, including a few months before WikiLeaks released hacked DNC emails. This is from The Guardian. Manafort met with Assange in 2013, 2015, and then around March of 2016, sources told The Guardian. Trump hired him in the end of March. The details of the meetings were unknown. Manafort, in a statement issued through a representative, expressly denied meeting with Assange, called the story total false and deliberately libelous, and he said the team was considering all legal options against The Guardian. Well, file a legal claim against them, and I'll believe that you actually have a stand. But until that time, I don't believe you've got a stand. I have never met Julian Assange or anyone connected to him. I have never been contacted by anyone connected to WikiLeaks, either directly or indirectly. I have never reached out to Assange or WikiLeaks or any matter. WikiLeaks denied the report in the tweet, saying it's willing to bet The Guardian $1 million in the editor's head that Manafort never met Assange. You see, is whenever you make a bet, I'll bet you the head of your editor. Well, clearly you're not going to behead the editor of The Guardian. So when you make such an outrageous claim, you know, you're basically, I think, trying to hide behind bravado. Like I said, I mean, if this is all a lie, well, let's sue them. You don't have to threaten and get heads of editors. Just sue them. Say, prove it. On Monday, special counsel Robert Mueller, investigating Manafort as part of the larger probe into a possible collusion between Trump and the Russians, said Manafort lied to investigators, violating his recent plea deal. According to The Guardian, Manafort's first meeting with Assange dated back to 2012 and 2013 during his time as a pro-Russian lobbyist in the Ukraine. In August, a federal judge convicted Manafort of money laundering and tax evasion related to his lobbying work. A month later, he agreed to cooperate with Mueller's investigators. But in court documents on Monday, the Mueller team said Manafort recently violated the terms of the agreement by lying to federal prosecutors. In response, Manafort's attorney said the complaint is invalid. Trump responded to the news Tuesday by lashing out at Mueller and accusing him. By the way, if you ever want a sign that this might actually be very legit, the fact that Trump is going ballistic about this news story. I mean, he's going crazy. I proclaim the investigation's a witch hunt. During the campaign, Trump repeatedly touted the hacked WikiLeaks emails. By the way, the Guardian story is basically, they themselves acknowledge that it's not definitively backed up, but they talked to quite a few Ecuadorians, because Julian Assange has been hiding out in the Ecuador embassy ever since he basically was threatened with prosecution for, it was Sweden, it was sexual assault. I think England wanted him for something else too, but needless to say, there's a few countries that want Julian Assange, and so he was hiding in the Ecuadorian embassy. Well, multiple Ecuadorians have commented on this this report, and they've to a point backed each other up on these stories. So It adds a little bit more fun to this, doesn't it? I think we no longer have to go A to B to C to D to E to F to G. I think we got an A to B to C at this point. We're kind of getting ding, ding, ding. But in case you missed it, that is not the only major story from Trump today. Wow. Trump administration announced in June it would open a temporary shelter for up to 360 migrant children in an isolated corner of Texas desert. Less than 6 months later, the facility has expanded to a detention camp holding thousands of teenagers. Originally set up for 360 migrants, it is now holding thousands of teenagers, and it shows every sign of becoming a more permanent residence. By Tuesday, 2,324 largely Central American boys and girls between the ages of 13 and 17 were sleeping inside a highly guarded facility in rows of bunk beds and canvas tents, some of which once housed first responders to Hurricane Harvey. More than 1,300 teens have arrived since the end of October alone, rising from the cotton fields and dusty roads not far from the dark fence marking the border between the U.S. and Mexico. The camp has rows of beige tents and golf carts with ferry staffers carrying walkie-talkies. Teens with identical haircuts and wearing government-issued shirts and pants can be seen walking single file from tent to tent. Boy, that sounds like a prison. Just saying. Sounds like a kid prison. Flanked by staff at the front and the back, more people are detained in Tornillo's tent city. Tornillo's tent city than in all but one of the nation's 204 federal prisons. Yet construction continues. The camp's population may grow even more if migrants in the caravans that Trump has rallied against enter the U.S. They say they may fly teens from the caravans who arrive in San Diego directly to El Paso, then bus them to Tornillo, according to a nonprofit service provider who spoke on the condition of anonymity because he was not allowed to publicly discuss the matter. An Associated Press investigation has found that the camp rapid growth has created some serious problems, including, you ready? You everyone buckled in here for a sec? You all good? All right. None of the 2,100 staff are going through FBI fingerprint background checks, according to government watchdog memo obtained exclusively by the AP. None. It should be reminded that there were young girls who were raped in Arizona because the private company that was running those detention centers didn't feel doing background checks to determine if there were sexual offenders within their guards was a bad idea. So they basically allowed sexual predators in to guard the young girls. And, well, yeah, that did not end out correctly. Tornillo is using checks conducted by a private contractor that has access to less comprehensive data, thereby heightening the risk that an individual with a criminal history could have direct access to children. Costs appear to be soaring, more than 50% higher than the government has disclosed. What began as an emergency 30-day shelter is transformed into a vast tent city that could cost taxpayers more than $430 million. The government is allowing the nonprofit running the facility to sidestep mental health care requirements. Under federal policy, migrant youth shelters generally must have one mental health clinician for every 12 kids, but shelters officials have indicated that Tornillo can staff just one clinician for every 100 children, according to two immigration rights advocates who spoke to the AP. Federal plans to close Tornillo by New Year's Eve are going to be nearly impossible to meet. There aren't 2,300 extra beds in other facilities, and a contract obtained by AP shows the project could continue into 2020. Plan closures have already been extended three times since the summer. The teens at Tornillo are not separated from their families at the border this summer, but they're being held because federal immigration policies have resulted in their families at the border. The teens at Tornillo have not separated from their families at the border this summer. They're held there because federal immigration policies have resulted in the detention of a record 14,000 migrant children, filling shelters beds around the country to capacity. So, there you go. How can any Christian be okay with any of this? How can you be okay with this? And then finally, for Trump today, Okay. Manafort apparently was meeting with WikiLeaks. You now have a child prison, a teenage prison in Texas that's costing us $430 million, was for 230-some kids, and now is for 2,000 kids. That would be about 10 times more kids that are supposed to be in there. But now Trump has said he was looking to cutting subsidies for General Motors after the company announced Monday it would be cutting more than 14,000 people from its payroll and shutting down 7 factories. Now, once again, one of the reasons why General Motors is doing this is because of the tariffs that Trump has put into place. And so Trump has partially created this problem. And now, because GM is going to have to close down some of their production facilities, he wants to punish them further. The cuts will cost an estimated $2 billion as GM car sales have slowed in both China and the U.S. GM stock soared after Monday's announcement, closing at $37.65, up nearly 5% of the day. In response, the Trump GM released a statement saying it appreciates what the administration has done for the overall competitiveness of U.S. manufacturing. The president tweeted that he is here to protect American workers, but the closings of several GM plants belies Trump's promise of 2017 rally in Youngstown, Ohio, that his constituents' jobs were coming back. Let me tell you, folks in Ohio and in this area, don't sell your house, Trump said at the time. We're going to get those jobs coming back. We're going to fill up those factories and rip them down and build brand new ones. It's going to happen. All right, so he's going to fill the factories. Then he's going to rip the factories down with the people inside of them, presumptively, and then build a new factory. Wow. General Motors plants near Lordstown, Ohio, had to lay off workers earlier this year. The plant will now be unallocated, according to the company. But Trump has said he was going to cut all GM subsidies, including for electric cars. Very disappointed with General Motors and their CEO, Mary Barra, for closing plants in Ohio, Michigan, and Maryland. Trump tweeted Tuesday, thanks. Nothing getting closed in Mexico and China. The U.S. saved General Motors, and this is the thanks we get. First of all, you guys all thought that Obama trying to save the auto industry was a horrible idea. So you guys acting like that's something you guys liked. You can shut up. That also being said, is the problem that they have is that because of this corporate worship of the last 40 years, where everything that has been done, every policy that's been put into place, has been to basically give the executive class as much profit as possible under the hope that either A, they give that money into your political campaign, or B, that they hire you once you're done with your political job in office as a million-dollar lobbyist. Of course, General Motors needs these cheap products to make their product. Do you understand that if they use just American products, how much a car would cost here in the United States? And I don't get me wrong, I love American jobs. I want American jobs to be there. But you first have to get the taconite industry to the steel plants. The steel plants are not coming back in the United States. Why? Because the rest of the world gets their steel from China. They send the raw product over, it gets made into regular steel, and then it gets shipped back. And if we can't even do that, well, you're not gonna see these companies do this. They'd rather do this. They'd rather shut down than try to basically rebuild a manufacturing base which died relatively early in the 1970s. Yep. But hey, we're going to punish him because Trump decided to start a trade war for no reason. Okay. I'll pick your poison. What's the worst one out there? I'll tell you what. When we come back, I'll turn it back to Minnesota here, and I've got a pretty good story about a Democrat who's trying to make sure that Omnibus Prime never happens again. We'll talk about that when we do return. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
Considering replacing your vacuum? What do you do with the old one? Throw it in the garage? Worse yet, throw it in the garbage? How about trade it in and save?
A1 Vacuum in Roseville has been around forever, and they take trade-ins. When you trade in your old vacuum, you save. So if it's time to replace that old clunker headed for the garage or landfill, bring it in to A1 Vacuum in Roseville. You can find A1 Vacuum at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. Rudy Luther needs to clear their inventory of fantastic 2018 Toyotas before the end of the year. Come see the popular and cool 2018 Camry with 0.9% financing to well-qualified buyers. And Rudy Luther is a top 10 largest volume Toyota certified pre-owned dealer in the country. The reason why? A second to none reconditioning process, great selection, and the best prices. November is Govember, so get going over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Wow. But yet, Diane Hall out in Marshall basically thinks Trump is the greatest president we ever had! Dear Lord. Dear Lord. 952-946-6205. Gary is in Minneapolis. Let's get Gary on in here. Welcome on in, Gary Bear.
Hi, I'm Matt. Good to talk to you again. Hey, you know, Hartman was going over again what he's had in the past, how Ronnie had his genius to break down the working class and the union movement by importing these illegal immigrants, they call them, but it's really illegal employers. He made it so they can hire these people from other countries, and they used to get tough on them and lock them up and fine these employers that did that, but he changed that rule. That was his way of breaking down the working class. And what are they doing 30, 40 years? Point the finger at the ones that don't look like us, non-white refugees. They're refugees, not even regular immigrants, and these people, they fall for it, hook and nail, you know, put Trump in office.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it. This is one of the things you'll notice is Republican control of undocumented workers in this country never involves punishing the businesses, only the workers. And these businesses, they know what they're doing. They know what they're hiring. They know they're on this. And that's the big wink. I mean, every one of the most ardent anti-immigrant Republicans you'll ever see knowingly has tons of businesses that support him in his community that hire undocumented workers. They know it. They're just a bunch of hypocrites because they don't have any problem with that. And as a matter of fact, they get political donations to turn a blind eye to it. But the reality is that we have a lot of jobs in this country that most Americans just do not want to do. And if an undocumented worker wants to come here, get a livable wage, get some money, send some money back home, I could care less. Let them come do it. Absolutely. And you know, this whole argument about the whether or not are they taking jobs away from that's an American job that they're going to do. And we've already answered that question. We actually already have. Jeff is in Prior Lake. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Hey, Matt. Great show as always, but you're my moral compass, and I need your help.
Sure. What's up?
I was talking to a guy 2 days ago. He lost his job. I dug into a little bit, feeling bad for the guy, and it was clear that it was the tariffs that caused the company to reorient itself, and he lost his job. He still supports Trump. This last weekend, I'm talking to a friend at a party. He's a farmer. He's worried about and close to filing bankruptcy on his farm,
and he still supports Trump. These people are going to need our help, and it's getting really hard for me to find some place to help these guys when the problem that they have was caused by the person they put upon all of us.
Jeff, here's the problem, and I understand what you're saying, and there it's a hard thing to realize. It's unfortunately we are at a point with most Trump supporters and Republicans, for that matter, Republican voters, where it takes unbelievable personal tragedy for them to realize how much they're on the wrong side of history. How many times did we see in the last 8 years or so a Republican go on out there and come on in and say, I was against the Affordable Care Act, I was against Obamacare, and then my son got very sick, and got to be honest with you, thank God we had that, or else I would have lost everything trying to keep my son alive, and he probably would have died. And that's what it took for some of these people, was unbelievable personal tragedy. I brought it up with the Diane person I was messing with on social media. The reality is these people, they're, half of them, if Trump himself came and burned down their house, would scream, damn Democrats, because they don't know any better. And you do not wish ill upon other people, but unfortunately, I think the only way some of these people are ever going to shake this out is realize is that to go through it and to lose everything and realize, you know what, those people that were telling me all this stuff, they were lying to me. And that's and there's not much else you can do. You can try. You can point out the fact that you're concerned about your crops if you're a farmer. Well, that's Trump. But they don't want to listen to that.
Spot on, Matt.
All right. Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call here. Let's get Phil in New York in now. Let's get Phil in New York before we get to the end of the show. Welcome on in, Phil.
Hi, Matt. Matt, I'll take 10 seconds. Illegal immigration is big business in this country.
Yes,
and you
is.
Said it very well. And that's why there's no change. The people that complain about illegal immigration benefit off their labor. Thank you.
You're more than welcome, Phil. No, and Phil is big on immigration issues. He's called in a few times. No, he's absolutely correct. He's absolutely correct. And the reality is we need to have a undocumented workforce because Americans just don't want to do these jobs. They just don't. And, you know, like I said, I mean, that's an entire mess there. Thanks, Republicans. Just screwed that up, too. Kelly is in Minneapolis. You're going to get the final word. Welcome on in, Kelly. Got about 30 seconds.
Got it, Matt. I know you're not corporate media. I know you talk about the issues that we need to hear about as middle-class Americans, whatever I am. But I'm sick of hearing about Trump. I want to hear about what our party is going to do for us as far as pharmaceuticals.
Okay. Kelly, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump on in here really quick. Give a big salute here. I'll post this story up online. Democrat Gene Pawlowski, apparently he's putting in some verbiage and trying to stop the omnibus prime bills from ever happening again. Bravo. You want some good news? We're trying to change the system so the Republicans can't screw it up anymore. I'll post that story later. You guys up next? Yep. Brett and Hunter up next. Till tomorrow. See you.